The book of Ruth, you may turn there with me. We're going to be looking at chapter 2. The book of Ruth gives us a wonderful picture of what it means to truly trust the Lord, to be all into Christ as we are resuming that theme. And in our last session, as we looked at chapter 1, we saw one who was not all in, and that is Naomi. And Naomi and her husband escaped the drought that was in Israel instead of letting God work in their lives, realizing that he had allowed this to chasten the nation of Israel. They go to the enemy, and as a result, things went from bad to worse. She lost her husband, she lost her two sons, and she now has these two daughter-in-laws. She's going back to Israel because there is bread there now, but instead of looking to the Lord, she clearly shows bitterness, and she's even hiding. She wanted the two daughter-in-laws to go back to Moab because for her to bring a daughter-in-law that was from Moab would not speak very highly of her faith in the Lord. And so the first chapter is really an expose of what happens when we are a faithless Christian. You see the contrast of all things in Ruth, the Moabitess. And she has chosen to fully put her trust in the God of Israel. I don't know how all of that happened, but she very clearly was going to do that. In fact, we read in verse 16, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." What a contrast. Naomi, the one that should have been the one that was an influence, was not. And Ruth, who should have been learning from her mother-in-law, was instead the example. But I want to go now to chapter 2. And here we're going to look at how wonderful it is when someone puts their faith in God and allows God in his wonderful working and his providence to allow him to shape our lives, to meet our needs, and to accomplish his purpose in our lives. I think we all know the gospel hymn, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." We love that. Fanny Crosby wrote that. And that came from a grateful heart. She had, when she received a direct answer to prayer, one day she desperately needed $5. And of course, that was a lot more back then. And just had no idea where she could obtain it. Well, she began, as her custom was, is to seek the Lord. "Lord, you have promised to meet my need." And so she prayed and asked God to meet that need. It wasn't long until a stranger appeared at her door with, guess what? $5, the exact amount. She said, "I have no way of accounting for this, except to believe that God put it into the heart of this good man to bring the money. My first thought was that it is so wonderful the way the Lord leads me. I immediately wrote the poem and Dr. Lowry set it to music." And it was first published in 1875. Here, this woman who was blind for most of her life, lost her sight at 6 years of age, was keenly aware of how she could stumble not being able to see. And yet she had the confidence that God would lead her. As she wrote, "Cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial." And she talks about guiding each step of the way. Well, we certainly rejoice that in that testimony of Fanny Crosby, but you know, that should be the testimony of every one of us. And it clearly is the testimony here of Ruth. And I like what Wiersbe said here about this chapter. Before God changes our circumstances, he wants to change our hearts. If our circumstances change for the better, but we remain the same, then we will become worse. God's purpose in providence is not to make us comfortable, but to make us conformable, conform to the image of his Son, Romans 8:29. Christ-like character is the divine goal for each of his children. Naomi was bitter against God, but Ruth was willing for God to have his way in her life. So God began his gracious work with Ruth. Ruth would influence Naomi, and then God would bring to pass a wonderful work that would eventually bring the Son of God into the world. Folks, God is working in all of our lives. One of the great truths about God is providence, that God is superintending. And if we can awaken to what he is doing and join him in his development of our lives, it is thrilling to see what God wants to do. But you know, the problem is the goal of being like Christ is not the goal of many a Christian. Therefore, if that's not the goal, we cannot appreciate the process that God is involving us in to get us to that goal. If we don't have the same goals, I want you to get this, it looks like God is at odds with us. Let me say this again. If we don't have the same goal that the Lord has, and we don't understand what he's doing, we can actually become like Naomi and become bitter because it looks like God is at odds with us. If we have a life that we want and not have the goal of being like Christ as our utmost burden to glorify him, then we could be very frustrated at some of the inevitable things that happen in our life. God is able to take all things and work them together for good. And so we're going to see the development just by what we see here. And we'll just look at this quickly here this morning. First of all, the necessity of faith. Ruth here takes a step of faith. You may not see it exactly when you read the first part of this chapter, but we have to remember that Ruth was a poor widow and she was an alien. In fact, she was a citizen of the enemy of Israel. But she had put her faith in Jehovah God, and therefore she took a step of faith that God would work even through these difficult circumstances. When she meets Boaz in the field, and we'll talk about that in a minute, he makes this statement about her. It was obvious about her. And he says in verse 12 of this chapter, chapter 2, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." So she had a testimony already of her faith that Jehovah God would meet her need, and she was going to trust the different provisions that had been laid out in the law of God, and she was going to follow that and trust that God would work in her very extreme need at this time. And so we're going to look here at the essential need for this, for steps of faith. Let's begin with verse 1. "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess," and by the way, let me stop there. Every time her name is just about mentioned in the book, it's always Ruth the Moabitess, reminding us of what a miracle this is. "Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." Now she takes a step of faith, believing that God would help her in a pretty impossible situation. Bethlehem was not a very big town, so everybody knew that this young lady was a Moabitess. They knew her situation. There could be different reactions to this. And she was totally upon the mercy of what would happen according to the law, and that was that poor people could go during the harvest time, and after the reapers had gone through, they could try to forage whatever was left and had fallen during that time. You can imagine that as they were reaping the fields, they didn't want to leave much behind. Because they didn't want to be checked upon in that regard. So there wasn't a lot. So it takes a lot of work for someone like a Ruth to be able to have a half a decent yield to her efforts. But she tells her mother-in-law that, let me go to the field and let me do this. Naomi, if she had gone, she would have found probably more opportunity. In fact, folks would have probably given things to her. But Ruth wanted to see the Lord work. And of course, she wanted to honor her mother-in-law. And it says there in verse 3 that she just happened upon the field of Boaz. No, that's what happens when you trust the Lord. There are a lot of what the world might call happenstance situations, but a lot of divine providence along the way. And she did not know this was the field of Boaz. I don't think she even knew the relationship at this time of Boaz to her mother-in-law. She just went out trusting that God would meet their need. They were in a desperate strait. And we have Morris says, Ruth now takes the initiative by suggesting that she should go to the field and glean. Notice that our author is not losing sight, as I mentioned earlier, of the heroine's origin, for he speaks of her as the Moabitess, a designation found five times out of the 12 occurrences of the name of Ruth. And so she was believing that God would work. Now let me just make a simple statement here. We all long to see God work in our lives. And God is, out of his love, is endeavoring to bring us to him. But folks, if we want to see the supernatural working of God in our lives, we must be taking a series of steps of faith according to the word of God. Grace always follows faith. And when we are not willing to take a step of faith, we're not willing to do what God has told us to do, we're not willing to trust him, we miss out on the obvious working of God on our behalf. So many people feel estranged from God. They wonder, where is God? Well, the problem is, when we look to ourselves, we go our own way. That's what Naomi did when she and her husband went to Moab. Everything is empty. Doesn't seem that God is working. Now, God is still graciously endeavoring to bring someone to him. But if you want to see the grace of God in action, it's vital that you take that step, an essential step of faith. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also, note this, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The grace of God that changes us, the grace of God that meets our needs, the grace of God that gives us wisdom, all comes out of faith. Folks, you receive the grace of God for salvation if you're saved here this morning because you trusted in Christ. You put your faith in the gospel, and then the grace of God saved you for eternity. And that same powerful grace is right there because of Christ's finished work for us as we see what God wants us to do. We understand what his truth says, and then we obey by depending upon him, not ourselves. And then God comes into action. Folks, don't you want to see God in action in your life? Don't you want to see God in action for others through your life? I'm telling you, there's nothing like day after day after day knowing that there's a divine operation going on, that you are in league with the creator of the universe, and that you are now on that pathway of his purpose in this day and age in which we live. But if we live faithless, we will be graceless. We will be powerless. Faith without works is dead. In other words, if we're not really believing, that's what that passage says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so the evidence of a step of faith is the grace of God. And I want to read Titus 2:11 because it really helps us understand what the grace of God means for us. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, what a tremendous miracle that is, hath appeared to all men, teaching us, that word is the word we use for child training, paideia, training us to deny ungodliness, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Isn't that amazing? The grace of God can cause you to say no to worldly lust to ungodliness, and you can actually think right, live a righteous life, and be godly in this very present age. That's how powerful the grace of God is. Friend, there's not an addiction in this room. There's not a problem in this room. There's not a sin issue in this room that God, by His grace, cannot overcome now if we'll walk by faith. That's what it says. And He'll train us. He will change us, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. Now, I want you to notice this, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh, I'm telling you, when you are ignited by the grace of God, the intervention of God that we do not deserve in our life accomplish His purposes, it's an amazing thing to see what God will do. God will lead us, and we need to trust Him. We all have heard of George Mueller, the great man of faith. Well, an unbelieving man went to investigate this George Mueller and his orphanage work. And when he knocked on the door, a woman answered and said, "Are you the one bringing the bread?" And he said, "No, I'm not." "What bread?" And she said, "Well, the bread for the children. We're going to have mealtime in 5 minutes." Well, they had nothing to serve the children, and Brother Mueller was sitting there with them as they were waiting, and he was very calm. They had prayed and asked God to bring bread, so they invited this unsaved man in to have bread with them, with no bread. Well, in a few minutes, the woman came rushing back saying, "The bread has come." There was a cartload that had been brought. It was under unique circumstances to Mueller, and all of the children were fed. Later that day, as that man was talking to Brother Mueller, he found out that they needed 5,000 pounds. That's probably like $100,000 to us today. And they needed it by noon. And Mr. Mueller confessed to him, "I don't know where a penny of it's coming from, but it's certainly coming." Well, you can imagine this man is really perplexed, you know. Well, a letter from India, you know, that you wouldn't necessarily think that's where it's going to come from. A letter from India was the entire mail. That was it, only one letter. He opened it in the visitor's presence, and it contained a draft, you guessed it, for 5,000 pounds. You say, wow, living that way. Well, my friends, that's just an indication of what happens when you get on the road of providence, when you get on the road of believing God, when you stop being independent, when you really trust His word, when you don't try to rationalize what He's saying, when you believe that He can take care of you according to His word, and that you can pray and God will give you peace about what you can claim, the grace of God will begin to do things that are just not able to be done humanly. And far more important than the provision of bread or money is the change that is needed in our lives. And so the second point, when the need for faith is the manifestation of grace. I've already been talking about it. This overwhelming providence of God. God moved in Ruth's life. She was there when Boaz came to the field. If she had not been hardworking, and if she had not followed the Lord, and if she had not stayed where she should stay, she would have missed this providential interaction that was vital. Let's read about it. Verse 4, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless thee.'" Notice those, the word Lord is in all caps. That's Jehovah. "Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, 'Whose damsel is this?' And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, 'It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab.' And she said, 'I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, and she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Oh, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger, an enemy? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It has been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and drip the morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and she reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. In other words, you put more out there for her to get, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, unbelievable amount of grain. Well, Boaz took the initiative on behalf of God, and he became God's providential instrument. We saw God's providential working, and here's the instrument. Let me just say this. God works in many different ways. But as believers, did you know that oftentimes we are the instrument of providence? We have a number of divine appointments with believers, and of course with the lost to reach them, but with believers. And God in ministry, God in our interactions, in our families, will prompt us, lead us, stir us to do things which we wouldn't have thought to do, but God will enable us to be the instrument, be the type of person that knows the voice of the Spirit so that we can be used of God. In fact, I have found, and I want to urge you to have a thorough prayer list, because God will often prompt you to do things you wouldn't have thought about doing, except that that name came across as you're praying, and God is able to stir your heart and give you a specific direction. It's amazing the timing, the perfect work of God when we are listening to Him. And so we need to yield ourselves as instruments of God, Romans 6:13, and like Epaphras in Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Spence says on the very day that the Moabitess entered on her gleaning, Boaz, in accordance with his wont, what he usually would do, as a good and wise master, visited his harvest field. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. The law of kindness was on his lips, and while benevolence was beaming from his countenance, piety was ruling within his heart. God took someone that loved him and who had a genuine walk with him and was able to move him to be his instrument to meet the need. Now remember, Ruth is going out, a poor widow, despised land that she is from, and now she, by the grace of God, comes to the very right place at the very right time when Boaz comes. He didn't come all the time. And then he takes note of her, and God works in his heart, and now she goes from having nothing to being fed, to be protected, to have for the days to come, an opportunity to get the grain needed for herself and for her mother-in-law, and she didn't realize it, but begin to open a door for a future that would be glorious. That's our God. That's our God. Folks, you say, well, that's a nice story about Ruth. Did you know each one of you have a better story than Ruth? This was a specific situation that prepared for the Messiah. But my friends, in this New Testament age, God wants to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. He wants to bring you to a place of being complete in Christ Jesus. He wants us to be able to be for the praise of His glory. Every person here, the Lord is as involved in as He is in the life, was in the life of Ruth and Naomi. And so her story can be ours multiplied over and over. And so He spoke to her and clearly showed, He realized, of course, connected to Naomi, that Naomi was a close relative and that he needed to take care of this young woman. God put that on his heart. And that had quite an impact because this was a man of great influence in that area. A pastor talks about some years ago, he was in Great Britain and he was in Litchfield, and they learned that Queen Elizabeth was coming to dedicate a new school. And so they interrupted their plans and stood on the curb waiting patiently for the motorcade. When it finally appeared, and they were about 10 feet from the Queen as she slowly rode by with her lady-in-waiting, waving to the crowd in her distinctive manner. Now suppose that she rolled down the window and called, "Hello, Warren, hello, Betty, hello, Judy, I'll tell my guards to take care of you." Well, everyone around would have been impressed, wouldn't they? Whoa, man, these Americans, they have a connection here with the Queen. Well, the same effect happened because there were a number of people even gleaning at that time, but He clearly shows His burden to make sure she was protected and that her needs were covered, and she was younger, my daughter, He says, and so it was very clear that He wanted to take care of her. He is a picture of the gentle and loving heart of Jehovah God, under whose wings she had come to trust. God takes care of us. I came across this recently. The National Science Foundation collected air samples of 78 sites around the world and compared them with samples taken 61 years ago. The result? There is precisely the same amount of oxygen in the air as there was in 1910. God will take care of us. All the doom and gloom, my friend, as long as God is ruling and He is ruling forever, we don't need the fear. But He is individually working in our life. He encouraged Ruth. He commended her faith and did everything He could to cause her not to worry and to know that for the days to come, she'd be taken care of, she'd be protected, and she could sense that this man was committed to Naomi's welfare and to her welfare. It's been said, you look at self and you will be distressed. Look at others and you'll be depressed. Look at Jesus and you'll be blessed. Honestly, folks, we have to believe that God will work. But when we are in the difficult times, if we're not walking by faith, the grace of God is not there. And we become self-focused and we miss out on all that God can do. And so as you go through this chapter, you see that faith enabled grace to come, which caused there to be a deepening of that faith, which we call hope, which has been the theme of our service. Biblically, the word hope means confidence, confident expectation. And I don't have time this morning, but as you read the rest of the chapter, Ruth's walk with God and Boaz's obedience to God to be the instrument of grace to this family caused Naomi to awaken for the first time to the reality of her God again. And she saw that God was on the throne And she had confidence that God was now going to work. And Ruth had confidence. Listen, there is nothing greater in life than walking by faith, seeing God's grace, seeing God provide, and then beginning to develop that spiritual, supernatural confidence that what God says is true. We can trust Him. We can know that He's answering prayer. We can look to the future with confidence, and we can know, no matter what our past has been, that God can give us victory and that the expected end of our life can be accomplished if we'll really trust Him. That's a wonderful way to live. The greatest thing in the Christian life as you grow in the Lord is to develop that rest and that confidence in the Lord. And oh, friends, how much we need to let God work. And thank God for Ruth, who put her trust in the Lord.